pray. Father, we come, Lord, thanking you and praising you for the sweetness of your Spirit, and Lord, for the promise that the Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, we know that your word is true. Lord, that you're continually guiding us and keeping us. And day by day, we find ourselves at times, Lord, at a loss for the direction. But Lord, we realize, Lord, when we meditate upon every promise, Lord, that you're there always. And even when we don't know the way, Lord, you're already making a way. You already have a way. And Lord, you're guiding us in it. And Lord, we love those moments when we recognize, Lord, and we see how that it looked tough, it looked hard, but we realize, Lord, you were bringing it just perfectly right along. Lord, we ask that you would bless each one this morning. We continue to hold up Sister Pauletta, Sister Betty, Brother Goomba is working, Lord, and Lord, we just commit each one to you. We pray that you would be with Chico as she's traveling, Lord. Lord, just give grace and mercy to her. We just thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, and I meant to ask for a prayer for Sister Chico. I thought that she was going to be traveling on the 18th, and I just got word that she's traveling today. And so we want to remember her in prayer that the Lord will give her traveling mercy. And so how we want to get right into the message. Now, I wanted to mention, now the next three services, Brother Goomba is going to be ministering. He's going to take Wednesday and Sunday and then the following Wednesday. And so we want to be in prayer for him, that the Lord will bless him and help him in the things that the Lord's laid upon his heart. And so he started on those two witnesses. He's been ministering two services now. So we just want to pray that the Lord will just help him and guide him and give us that spiritual food. And so now we want to move right into this year's part 28. And I put for a subtitle, When the Seals Completely Are Broken, the Time of Redemption is Finished. Amen. Now, this is going to be right in the first quote, and we're going in the first seal. I was going to move on and just turn to the next part of this. And I thought I just wanted to finish carrying through the seal book and then pick up again after that on the when he gets in. So it's about 8 months, 8 months after the seals are revealed, that Brother Branham preaches a message, souls that are in prison now. And so I think I'm turning it off, and I'm not sure. I've turned off three buttons and still making that ding. Yeah, I muted it. So I think I have it now. So there we go, yeah. So for some reason, my phone is tied in here. I think it's because of the WhatsApp. And so when I get a notification, it dings. And so, but I think I got it off now. So anyways, so I wanted to, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it, as always, I kind of changed. So I had my quotes ready, and then this morning I changed them completely, and so I wasn't able to cull them down like I would have liked to. So once again, I'm reading a little bit, and but the Lord will help us, and I'll try to cut some of it if I can. And but I would like to get to the souls in prison, and because he reflects back. And when he reflects back on the seals, he explains it again. And I didn't realize it had been so long since I had pulled the quotes or studied on the subject, you know. And this is something really seriously we've been preaching 20, 30 years. And for me, a lot of that preaching has been out on the mission field in India and in Africa. And so a lot of that, I preached it a lot of times there, and we preach it some here. But when I went back to bring the intercessory work and the mediatorial work, after the seals, he says a lot. And he keeps referring to it, and a lot of it is in the evangelistic services, the evangelistic messages, and he keeps referring to him as being there in the intercessory work. And so I thought, I need to read some of those quotes because he says it over and over and over. And so I don't think as much time as we've spent on this lesson talking about what we're after is this covenant today, the changing, going from the blood covenant to the eternal covenant. I don't think it'd be right to leave all of those quotes just hanging there. I think we need to at least just put them in the record here. And but I seen something this morning that was really striking to me, and there's something different about the way he talks about it after the seals. And so if the Lord will help us, we're going to work our way to that when we come back after Brother Goomba ministers. And so beginning at paragraph 51 here, let's just begin in the first seal. Now, the mystery of the book are revealed when the seals completely are broken and the time of redemption is over, because the Lamb left the intercession post to walk out and to take his claims. Now, this is the same thing he said in the breach. So this is, as a matter of fact, and he's identifying exactly what's taking place. And so he does this all the way through the seals, the third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, and right. And then in the sixth seal, we already read the quote that he identified in the sixth seal, where he made it clear that he's establishing those things are poured out right here tonight. He's not putting it in the future. He's saying it's right now. It's tonight. And so we can't have this being such a great revelation and this being God himself, the one breaking these seals, and Brother Branham identifying over and over and over, it's at the opening of the seals, the breaking of the seals, that redemption is finished, the mediatorial work is finished. He can't say that over and over and over in this series of revelation and then turn around and take it away and it not mean what it means. When he comes back and he's referring to a mediator, an intercessor, he has a purpose. He has a purpose in that. That's the point I want to make. You can't nullify this, is what I'm saying. This is too great. This is too big. Brother Branham said this is one of the greatest things that ever happened to him in his ministry and his revelation. And he said this was the most sublime thing, the Lamb taking the book and breaking the seals, revealing the names that are in the book. So it amazes me. I heard a minister one time preaching one time when in Africa I had preached on these things. And so he'd come back and he was preaching behind me. And so he took the quotes that Brother Branham emphatically said, redemption was finished, the blood was off the mercy seat, da, da, da. And then he went over after the seals and he read a quote where he said he's sitting there on the throne tonight. And so he said, this quote cancels that quote. And I thought, that it can't. It can't cancel it. It's taking a quote in an evangelistic service, and he's not canceling a quote. He's canceling messages, revelation after revelation after revelation. And you can't do that.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. This has to have its place. I agreed. But this is not going to take away the whole revelation of the seven seals.
That's right.
By him pointing and saying he's interceding tonight It's not going to take this message away. Not going to do it. So when the seals completely are broken, the time of redemption is over. Now, there's another point right there, because I've heard people bring this point. He's saying completely, when the seals completely are broken. So now that's a valid claim. That's a valid claim because he's saying that they have to be completely revealed in order for the redemption to be finished. And so then he's the one who has to identify when the seals completely are broken. He said they opened back there in the first church age. And they've been opened and they've been acting out all the way through seven church ages. And now they're being broke. And so the only catch is the seventh seal. And that's where people are saying, well, the seventh seal's not open yet. That's in three parts and all of it hasn't happened yet. And so when you do that, that's okay. But you're holding back. You're failing to recognize what he said completely about the seventh seal. Amen. The seventh seal is in a mystery. It stays in a mystery. And it will always be a mystery to the world. It's absolutely, the prophet said, it will not be revealed to the public.
That's right.
So that means that revelation, that one revelation right there, though they might understand many things, they will not know the seventh seal.
Amen.
It will not be made known to the public. It is a mystery that is revealed, God revealing himself to the bride.
Amen.
Themselves.
Right.
Nobody else. Nobody's going to get it except the bride. So, because the Lamb had left the intercessor post to walk out and to take his claims, he was a mediator between that. But when the real revelation happens on the seals, as they begin to break, the Lamb is coming forth from the sanctuary. It's according to the word. And we read it last night. See, he come out of the midst. I don't know if I just yanked this thing. I don't know if I messed it up or not. Can you tell if it's still working? Okay. I accidentally slapped it in, but nothing, the wires are not loose. I think they're still intact. He was a mediator between that. And when the real revelation, what revelation? The real one. When the real revelation comes, when does the real one come? It comes in this day. It didn't come in the first church age. It didn't come in the second, all the way through to the, it came at the end of the seventh church age. The real revelation comes. And that's when the seals are going to be completely broken. They weren't broken back down through the ages. They couldn't be completely broken until this day. He was a mediator. Well, let's see. Let me drop down. It's according to the word. We read it last night. He come from out of the midst and took the book. So there's no more mediator. See, because even they called him a lion. And that's the king. And he's not a mediator no more. See, what? See, he's no more mediator because even they call him a lion, and that's the king, and he's not a mediator then. See, all right. So, but he's going to start making some references just a little bit. Although the actors here of these seals begin at the first church age. And now remember, we'll get the background of it thoroughly if we can, as thoroughly as possible. The actors. See, I'll place it like that because an actor is a man who changes mask. See? That's right. And so these two actors, this horse rider's going out, was changing his mask. He was changing his color, changing his horse, changing his power, changing his effectiveness. Change into deception, the power of deception in each age. And Christ also was coming to counter that. As Satan would come in to deceive, then the Spirit of Christ would come in to help the people of that age. But also, the people of the age, they were acting out their part. They were acting out, the believer was receiving the revelation and acting out their part. And those that were to be deceived, they were receiving the lie, they were receiving the deception, and they were acting out their part. And so it was a great drama that God was acting out. See, and now in this act tonight, we're going to see, now we're in the first horse rider, so we know that's that white horse rider going forth. And I tried to cut out anything that was getting me off of this, because there's so much you can talk about in that revelation of the horse riders and of what was taking place in the church ages. I mean, in the church ages as these seals were breaking. Now, this act tonight, we're going to see that it's Satan changing his mask. And all actors, Christ acting the part as he did when he become from spirit to man, he only put on an actor's garment, human flesh, and came down in the form of a man in order to be a kinsman redeemer. Now, you see, it's only an actor's form. And that's the reason they are in parables and symbols and the way they are here, like beasts and animals and so forth. It's in an act. And these actors begin in the first church age because it was Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages. Now, that's what it was. So every one of these symbols, and I finished the word out there because he's going to eventually say it, that it was symbols, and that's it was hidden in parables, it was hidden in symbols, it was hidden by calling these different forms, different animals, different things, and so they were acting out that. And so now the we're seeing him, the lamb, now coming forth as a lion. So that symbol is representing the ministry of this day, of this time, when the fullness of the word has come, when the seventh seal is revealed, when the seven thunders are made known, all of that now comes and has to be opened up. So these actors begin at the first age because it was Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages. That's what the church ages were. Christ revealing himself. Did they realize it? Did they recognize it? They recognized that little part of how he was revealing of himself. That little part. And that's why in this day, it's such a great thing when he takes the veil off of God. When he takes the veil off of God and we see him. As I think Brother JP had posted this morning on one of the groups, talking about that, there was a time that it was death to go into the holy place. And he said, now it's death not to enter into the holy place. Now the mercy seat, the true mercy seat, came into view at Calvary. And so not behind those skins, but hanging on Calvary, he was in open view. That was the mercy seat. That was the door that God opened to bring in the bride. And so that was the price that was paid. That was all of it right there. Now you understand it. All right, see? Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages. Then through these church ages, there's a great mess up comes along. And then at the end of the church age, the seventh angel's message is to pick up these lost mysteries and give it to the church, see? Now we'll notice that, see? But then, not then revealed in their true state. In those ages, as these seals were breaking, they were not revealed in their true state. They were in symbol form. And so they didn't know exactly what it was. Now in the Bible times, the mysteries were there. They seen these things happen the way John saw it here. See? He said, there's a white horse rider. Now, but what the mystery of it is, there's a mystery that goes with that rider. And now, what it is, they didn't know. But it's to be revealed. But it's to be revealed after the Lamb leaves the Father's throne of his intercessory as kinsman redeemer. Now, that's an emphatic statement. And he makes this statement over and over and over. So once again, I say, if you are carrying around a seal book and you believe the seals have been revealed, he is declaring that that could not be done until he leaves the mediatorial work and the intercessory work. And when he leaves there, that means the work of redemption is finished. The work is finished. He no longer has to do that. But there is something that he's doing, and that's claiming it. And that claiming is possessing. It actually is possessing. It's actually becoming one with that which he redeemed. So now I'm going to drop a little something in here. Now, if anybody gets these tapes, any man can speak whatever he wants to. But he has a right to anything of his conviction. But you know, if a minister doesn't want this amongst his people, then tell him not to take it. And there's plenty of them over the years that told him not to take it. There's plenty of them over the years that told him, don't go to those meetings. Don't go listen to him. Don't go this. Don't go that. Or they, when there was going to be a meeting, they'd start another meeting to get the people to come and not go there. But you can be sure the seed was led by the Spirit of God. See? So you don't want it? Just leave it. This is amongst the people that I have been sent to speak to. Therefore, I must reveal what is truth. See? And now the Lamb. Now, he just told us here now, I'm going to drop something. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you. What he's dropping, he's already dropped it over and over. He's already said it over and over. He's just going to say it again with more, I don't know what the word is, just more importance, more to make you know that this is something that is sublime. This is something that must be realized. It's something that we must get. We must realize what God is doing here. Now, the Lamb in the time of intercessory back here, he knew that there were names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world. And as long as them names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he had to stay there as an intercessor. Do you get it? Now, he's stressing it. He's stressing it. He's already said this before, but he's stressing it now that those had to be manifested on the earth. And then it's going to be finished. See? And do you get it? Perfectly predestination. Perfectly predestination. This is why it doesn't make sense for people to get upset and think that nobody else can be saved now. Nobody else can be a child of God. Nobody else can know what is truth. No, it was always predestination. It was always God who had chose these names before the foundation of the world. There's no, Brother Branham said, after this revelation, he said, you didn't get saved on any day. You always was saved. You were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Always was right there. See? Perfectly predestination. All right, he had to stay there because he came to die for those that God ordained to eternal life. See? See? By his foreknowledge, he saw them. Not by his own will. His will was that none should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name that hadn't never been declared in the earth, now he's making it directly, they had to be manifested on the earth. Christ had to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. But as soon as the final name had been splashed in that Clorox or bleach, then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. See? See, he leaves the sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. Woe to them outside of Christ then. Yes, woe. Right? Because he's done dealing with the Gentiles. He's done. It's finished. Now notice, it's to be revealed when the Lamb takes his intercessory place from the Father. Now that's Revelation 5. That's the proof. That's the proof that what he's saying is exactly right, exactly true. When he takes that book out of the right hand of him that sits on the throne, it's finished. It's finished right there. His intercessory work is finished. Now he takes the book of seals. The book of seals, or a book sealed with seals, and breaks them and shows them, look, at the end of the age now, after the intercessory is over, the church ages is done, finished up. He come in the first age, the Ephesian age, revealed, sent the messenger. Notice what happened as we go along. Now, here's the plan of it. Now, this is a little bit over on it, and I actually meant to drop this too. Here's the plan of it. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in the heavens first. What happened? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. Now, he is explaining what was happening in every church age. In every church age, exactly how the plan of God was going down. And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds. It declares a war, or a plague falls, a church age opened. See, what is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. Now, he keeps bringing that back to our attention. It's not fully yet revealed. In those church ages, it wasn't fully revealed. It wasn't broken. But when these seals are broken, it's finished then. So that's when redemption is over. When these seals completely are broken. Not what was happening through the seven church ages. See, he catches the mystery of God and he goes forth to the people after the mystery has been given to him. He goes forth to the people, and what does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? A war. A spiritual war. And God takes his messenger with the elect of the age, lays them away asleep, and then he drops a plague upon them who rejected it. A temporary judgment. Think about that. Every age, he sends a message, he sends a mystery, a revelation. The angel sounds the trumpet, brings forth the gospel trumpet of that age, the gospel of their salvation, the revelation for that day. Amen. Satan raises up his deceivers to fight against that revelation. There's a spiritual war. And, you know, we think about it sometime, and a lot of times we discuss and we think all of the arguing and all the fussing and everything. That's just what the Word of God does. It creates spiritual war. Yes, Satan is fighting this thing. And you don't want to argue. You don't want to fuss. Especially when you have the revelation that God is the author and finisher of all revelation. That's right. Then we don't have to fight anybody. We don't need to argue with anybody. And when somebody, even when they come to argue, they always say, I'm not going to argue. I don't want to argue. And it's exactly what they want to do. They want to argue. I'm starting to think of how to say it. But that's what they say every time. I don't want to argue. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to do this. Then they start arguing. They start fussing. They start complaining. Because they're upset because you're holding right to what he said. And you don't want to go with an idea that is based on intellect. And the bride's not going to do it. She's not going to do it. That was the fall in the garden. That's where Eve went. Adam didn't. Adam didn't. Because he couldn't be deceived. And the bride today cannot be deceived. She can't. She is in him. She cannot doubt this word. She cannot doubt this revelation. And now, and she's all together, male and female together, she's all together under this same revelation. Satan can't get the woman any more than he can get the man.
That's right.
What he did back there, he can't do it now.
Amen.
He can't do it now because you have the same Holy Ghost. You have the same eternal life.
Amen.
You have the same revelation.
Right.
You have the same everything. And that's why he said in Christ, there's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's none of it. It's all, you're either in Christ or you're not in Christ.
Amen.
And that's the thing. And that's something that it really hit me this morning. When I kept reading those quotes, when he kept saying he's there, he's there, he's an intercessor. That you, how did the scripture go? A priest, a high priest on your confession. I can't remember the exact wording, but the paraphrase is on your confession. It's based on your confession, your confession.
Amen.
Now think, there was a change. Your confession has changed.
Yes,
when you came from the church ages into this revelation, your confession completely changed now. You're not under that.
Right.
You're under this.
Yes.
And this is the fullness of the word, the fullness of the revelation. You are under a totally different thing. And you have recognized that you are a son and daughter of God.
Right.
You've recognized it. So you're not, it's not no more a wonder about it. It's not no more hope about it. It's not no more, I did this, I did this, I did this. Now I hope. No. Now it's a revelation.
Amen.
It's a revelation that you know you are a child of God.
That's right.
And that's the reason now, Brother Branham, he even brings it here. I backed it out because I had too much. But he starts right here in the seals. And you start reading what he's saying and you would think he was preaching invisible union. He said there is absolutely no sin.
Amen.
There is nothing. A son and daughter of God stand perfectly sinless.
That's right.
In the presence of God.
Amen.
Satan has nothing on them. Why? Because the book has been revealed. Their names have been revealed. He has revealed to them that they're in the book. He's revealed to them that they are a son and a daughter of God.
Right.
And that is not something that anybody can do for you. That is a personal revelation from God to you.
Amen.
Personally to you. Nobody else can do it. I can't give it to you. Can't give it to you. You can't give it to me.
Amen.
God is the one who reveals it.
That's right.
That's why these ministers, if they don't have the Spirit of Christ, then it bothers them. It bothers them. If they don't think they're the ones controlling you, or they're the ones who are giving it to you, or they're the ones who are moving you this way and that way. The only one that needs to move you is the Holy Ghost. That's the only one that needs to move you. When you hear the word, then it's God in you that is making that thing live. And that's all.
Yes.
Anything we have to say, we're just repeating what he said.
Amen.
Then after that is over, then he goes on and they denominate and bring in denominations every age. And look at it now, after all the denominations are dead and all the church ages are dead and all the everything else is dead and every other ministry is dead and all of it's dead. And what are they doing? They're the exact same thing. They're trying to denominate this message. And that you can't do it. You can't denominate the message.
Right.
But they got denominations all around it. It's just like nominal churches that are claiming to be the bride. It's just like the Catholic Church claiming to be the bride. You can claim it all day long, but you can't be that. You can't. There's no way. And start off with that man's work, like of Wesley and the rest of them, and then it goes into a scrapple again. And then another mystery goes forth. And then what happens? Another messenger arrives on the earth for a church age, see? And when he arrives, the trumpet sounds, and he declares war. And then what happens? Finally, then he's caught away. And then when he's laid away, then the plague falls, destroys them, spiritual death hits the church. And she's gone, that group, see? Then he goes on to another one. That's right. So every time that God sends a message, every time the messenger comes along, every time then they reject that, it's spiritual death comes upon them.
That's right.
Every time.
Amen.
That's exactly what's happened now. The only difference now is this is the final. This is the finish. That was coming for the ages. It happened. There was a judgment in every age. A judgment fail. The messenger delivered his message. The elect received the message. They were caught away. They finished their life. They acted out their part. And then all of those around it begin to denominate it. They begin to make a group out of it, say, this is it. This is the only way you can be saved. No other way now. And God says, sends another messenger, brings another mystery. And just when the people are getting all down and out and they're hearing all of these nominal ideas and all these intellectual ideas and all of this other nonsense, then they hear that messenger cry out and they say, praise God. That's it. That's it right there. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's God revealing something in this day. What they denominated didn't sound right anymore. It didn't sound right anymore. So God revealed something new. And it just keeps repeating and repeating. Oh, it's a great plan until it comes to that last angel. Now, he has no certain mystery. He gathers up all that's been lost in them other ages. What? Just think. That's why I keep saying we have been given a spiritual feast in this day like no other. Luther had justification. He just had a few little revelations, a few little things. He had a revelation that wine and that bread was not the literal body. Okay? So he had some little nuggets here and there, and it was great things to those people. But look at what we have. Look at all of the things that God opened up in this day. I was reading yesterday where Brother Brandon was talking about Abraham, and we've been on in Genesis in our devotions. And Brother Branham said, whoever knew that Abraham came through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, coming through those steps, just like in the church ages. And he's explained how that Abraham, when he believed God, he was justified by faith. See? And he just brings it right through. And then how he acts it out and how he carries it out. And then he comes right down to the promised son. And there he has it. There he receives it. And he said, nobody ever knew those things. No, they didn't. They had no clue. It just took God to come with the mind of God.
That's right.
This one just gathers it all up. All the truth that wasn't truly revealed yet as the revelation comes. See, it was the revelation coming. For seven church ages it was coming. But it wasn't truly revealed yet. It was just, all of it was in part. Every bit of it, none of it was the fully made known. Not even the Godhead. Not even the Godhead was fully revealed until those seals broke open.
Amen.
And that took me a long time to get that, to agree with that, understand that, and make sense of that. Because I thought, no. He was preaching it back there all the time. He was preaching one God, one baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching all of that. But it was after those seals opened up that he really brought the revelation and clearly made it clear who was who. On the serpent seed, on the Godhead, on all of it. All of it. Mystery was still laying there. That's what's so great about God. Then he reveals those things in his day. And if you want to read it, there it is. Revelations 10, 1 to 4. You'll get it, all right? Yes, Revelations 10, 1 to 4. That would be that mighty angel coming down. He takes the book and, see, of seals and breaks them and shows the seventh angel. For this alone, the mysteries of God, is the ministry of the seventh angel. Now, we just come through the church ages and even history to prove that, see? The angel's message of the seventh church and reveals all the mysteries that's been in the past, all the things in the past, Revelations 10, 1 to 7, that's to be. But now remember, in the days of the seventh angel, his sounding forth, blasting forth the gospel trumpet, he's to finish all the mysteries of God. Just like here come forth in the early church age, we'll get it after a while, a doctrine, then it become a saying, see, then a doctrine, then become a statute, then become a church, and through the dark ages, and out of the dark ages come the Reformation, Luther. He brought forth with him all kinds of mysterious things, happenings during the church ages, see, but he never finished it up. And then come Wesley with sanctification. He got some more of it, but he never finished it. Left the loose ends everywhere, just a sprinkling instead of a baptism, see? Luther took Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these different things. Then along come Pentecost, the Pentecostal age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they cabbage down on that. Think about that. Wait, well, you would think that was the greatest thing. You would think that that was the finale, that that was the finish. If you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then that was it. That was everything, and it was all done. But what came was the outpouring of the gifts with the anointing, with the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And so they cabbaged down on that. They didn't go on into the reality of it, to the full life. They just took the baptism. And that didn't become clear until some years later. Brother Branham said, you could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour, every day of your life, and be lost and go to hell. So they did the same thing that all the rest did. They cabbaged down on it. They made a doctrine. Now, they made it, this is it. If you don't speak with tongues, you're lost. If you don't get this baptism, you're lost. If you don't join our church, you're lost. If you don't do this and that and the other, you're lost. That's Satan. Yes. That's his tactic. See? Now, there cannot be no more ages. That's all of it. And to remind you, those seals could not be revealed until the ages were finished.
That's right.
Until they were done. They couldn't be revealed. And they are now revealed.
Amen.
They're done. We found in the studying of the scripture that the messenger to the age come right at the end of every age. Paul come at the end of the age. We find out that Irenaeus came at the end of the age. Martin, the end of the age. Luther, the end of the Catholic age. See, Wesley, the end of the Lutheran age. And Pentecost, at the end of the age of sanctification through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? Now, dropping down to paragraph 75. Then there's coming for seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. This is what the thunders are for. This is what the thunders are going to do. They're going to get the bride together, and they're going to give her rapturing faith. That's what it's for. I believe through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something got to step farther. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, Harley. See? We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written.
Amen.
We're going to find where it's written, the word that's not written. We're going to find where the unwritten word is written.
Amen.
That's what we're going to find. And that's what we have now. Because now it's been written. Now it's been written, it's been spoken. And that's what that mighty angel had to do when he came down. That was God's way. It had to be spoken. He came down and he spoke those seven thunder mysteries.
Yes, sir.
And that's exactly, that's how the scripture declared it. That's how the prophet declared it. And that's where we're at. And so That's as Brother Michael was talking a while ago about Sister Betty, and I told him when he come in this morning, and Nanny had started texting me a while ago, and he was asking me how she was doing and everything, and I was telling him that she was basically the same, and so he was giving, just condolences that he was sorry and everything, and it got me thinking. And I told Brother Michael when he come in, I said, you know what? We find ourselves accepting Satan's lie. We find ourselves saying, okay, this is too far gone. We decide it's this person's time to go. And we just sometimes don't believe for anything else because we just think, okay, it's time. God is the one who decides when it's time. God is the one. And he can do anything he wants, anytime he wants. And that's exactly what he's doing, because that's why they're all baffled anyways. They're all baffled right now because months ago, they told her she only had a short time to live. And then they come along, and one day she's doing so good, they tell her that they're taking her off the list. And then they come in and they see a sore on her, and they said she's only got a couple of days. And now she's gone a week and a half past that, and now they don't know what to do. They don't know what to think. They said, we've never seen it before. Then when this happens, it's finished. You only got a couple of days. Now they're saying, we've never seen it before. Somebody have this, and they're still communicating. That's the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
And that's the grace of God. And it just encouraged me this morning. I said, God is able to raise her up and make her walk again. God is able to do anything. He might take her tomorrow. I don't know. But God is able. And the only thing that's going to happen is what he has in his mind to happen.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm not settling for Satan's idea anymore, or the doctors, or anybody else. It's in God's hands.
Amen.
It's in God's hands.
Yes,
and we thank him for all the time that he's given her. And when she shouldn't even, according to them, be able to communicate,
Amen.
She keeps communicating.
Yep.
We went over there the other night, and she was talking to us.
Amen.
She was able to respond to what we were saying. Praise
Amen.
Be to God. We got to have enough faith to be changed.
Amen.
To be changed and swept out of this earth. And we'll find after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. See? Then all the judgments of these evildoers, see, down through the ages, as these seals has been breaking, up until now, the last seal is broken. The last seal is what?
Broken.
Now. Now this last seal is broken. That's right. And this seal is his coming. And he didn't say that this seal is when everybody sees him. He didn't say that.
Right.
He said this seal is his coming. And the only ones who are going to see him are those that he's coming to. Those that he is revealing himself to. And he has come in the form of the revealed word. He's come in the form of the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God, the Father, the Spirit, eternal life.
Amen.
I was reading a quote, and I took it out, but Brother Branham touched on it. He was referring to the Father. And so he just was separating the Father and the Son, and he said, the Father, the Spirit, he was that Logos. He is the one who is eternal life. And the Son is the Word. He is that body that the Father was in. I want to skip down a little bit. Paragraph 104 said, now while she was gone, talking about those foolish virgins, the bridegroom come. See, and in went the bride. And then them remnant there, the ones that were absolutely virtuous, the church was left outside. And he said, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, see? Now, that's the elect. When the sound comes, the bridegroom cometh. Then every one of those that slept down through those ages awakened. When that cry went out, then every one of those that slept awakened.
Yes.
Now, if that cry has gone out, and the one who makes that, if he has come and he has called his bride,
yes, sir,
then he calls them all the way back down through the ages.
Amen.
Now, there's nowhere he says, I've got to be able to explain this and say this and how it happened and this and this and this. He didn't say that. What he said was that when he calls all of them all the way back down through the ages, they awakened. That's what he said. And if I just leave it like he said, then it fits perfectly.
Right.
See, it isn't God, as we'd think, just going to hunt him out a few thousand people of this age and take them. Listen what he's saying. Because God is clarifying things when the prophet is preaching something, and maybe you think he's preaching another message. He's also given us something for down the road. He knew that down the road, there were going to be all these ideas that there is today.
Amen.
And so he's clarifying them little by little by little. You just got to go in there and find them. They're just like buried treasure. Let me read that again. Now, see, it isn't God, as we would think, just going to hunt him out a few thousand people of this age and think them and take them. No, he didn't just come in this age and he said, okay, now I'm going to take you and you and you and you, not taking you, somebody out there. I'm taking you and you and you. No, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's the very elected out of every age. And that's the reason Christ has to stay on the mediatorial seat back there as an intercessor until the last one comes in at the last age. Why? Because their names are on a book. The names are in his mind. The names are engraved in his heart. Every one of them that was predestinated. He didn't just come along and decide, I'm going to take this one or that one or this one or that one. He knew every one of them before he created the world. Before there was dust, before there was air, before there was molecules. He knew them, every one of them. He had them in his mind and he had them in the book. And that's the reason Christ has to stay there on the mediatorial seat back there as an intercessor until the last one comes in at the last age. And these revelations then of what it has been breaks forth upon the people and they see what's happened. See, you get it now? That's right. Now watch. He said it would be known in the last days, but it come forth in a church symbol. Do you understand it, church? It comes forth in a symbol of a church that they know there is a seal. But just what it is yet, they don't know because it's a white horse rider. See, it's in a symbol form, right? The mystery is in a symbol. And it's only to be revealed at the last days when this actual seal is broken. When's the seal actually broken? In the last days. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. See? Broken to the church. Notice now, oh my, that just makes me tremble. See? I hope that the church truly understands it. See what I mean? You people. Now, listen what he says. I'm going to call you bride, see, that you'll understand. Now, what kind of statement is that? I'm going to call you bride now so that you will fully understand. Because what takes place at this time in history, what takes place at this time in spiritually, is that those two seeds, the wheat and the tares,
They're being separated. They're being separated. And so Brother Branham said he is no longer in the church. He's no longer in the church. He was in the church. All through the ages, he was in the church. And you, a lot of times, you couldn't tell the difference in one and the other. You couldn't tell who was who. But now, he's saying, now, I'm gonna change how I address you because I want you to understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to call you bride. So that way, when I talk about the church, you're going to understand I'm talking about something different.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said that one of the mysteries today is that he's talking to two groups of people.
Yes,
he's talking to the church and he's talking to the bride. And so now he wants us to get, now he wants to identify, just like God changed Abraham and Sarah's name. He changed their name. And he began to call them by that name that he gave them. And the prophet now is saying, I'm going to call you bride, see, that you'll understand it.
Amen.
That you'll understand it. And so this was the beginning here, right here where this was the beginning. And so it was all the way over in 65 in the message, just the rising of the sun, before he ever used the term bride age. And he said it six times, from the middle of 65 to the end. Six times. He used the terminology bride age. He had never used it before. And here he's establishing right here in the seals that I'm going to call you this because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Because this was the beginning of a separation. This was the beginning of a time that he now was going to have a personal relationship, a personal revelation to the elect.
Yes, sir.
And the rest of them, they were just, they're going to go on in their church ideas. They were going to go on, he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. He that righteous, let him be righteous still.
Right.
Now, it was time now to manifest that life. So, the voice is a thunder. The voice came from where? From the throne, where the Lamb had just left as an intercessor. And now he's standing here to take his position and his claims. But the thunder came from inside of the throne, thundered out. And the Lamb was standing out there. And the thunder, where the Lamb had left the Father's throne to go take his own throne. Now, this is really good. This is really good. And it's not our subject today, but I definitely want to come back and touch it because it goes with what I was talking about a while ago. And that on your confession, on you recognizing where you are and who you are. And so this is the same thing. It ties in there. The thunder, where the Lamb had left the Father's throne to go to take his own throne. Glory. Now, don't miss it, friends. Don't miss it. So he goes before the Father's throne, and he takes the book, and now he goes to take his own throne. Now, I know you know what that is. I know that Brother Branham has explained that to us. But we're gonna read those quotes after some time, but I want to come back and put this together with some other things that was really striking to me here. But we know he left the Father's throne to take his throne, and his throne is in the heart of the believer. That's where his throne is, and so he changed from being a lamb to a lion. He changed, and so now the people have to change. Because Brother Branham said that the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the bride has to be the same.
Amen.
So when we were under that blood covenant, that's what we were promoting. That's what we were preaching. Now when we come under eternal life,
Amen.
Now we have changed.
Yes.
We have changed our ministry.
Yep.
We have changed everything. Now we've changed our confession. We've changed all of that. And now we begin to declare him as the lion. And so he takes the throne in the believer. That's where he is. We all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on the earth. He did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall see me on my throne as I have overcome and have sat down on my Father's throne. Amen. See? Now, someday he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. And now he comes forth to call his subjects. See? We know that's what was happening. When he takes the book, he leaves the Father's throne. He's coming now to take his throne. Now he's going to claim them. He's already got the book of redemption in his hand. Oh, glory, I feel like singing a song. And he starts singing that song, soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. Continuing, left the Father's throne, came forth, see, his son. He is the son of David. That's what Israel thought he would do then. Huh? They were just 2,000 years early. That's all. They just missed it by a little bit, didn't they? Brother Branham said, we must never mislocate. We must never misinterpret. We must never misplace the Word of God. They were trying to put him in that place. Brother Branham said, they wanted to crown him then. They wanted to make him the king then. And he wouldn't do it. It wasn't time. That's what happens every time that the people try to interpret and they chow down on what God's trying to do. They did it in Luther. They did it in Wesley. They did it. He said they cabbage down on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They tried to make that the all of it right there. It wasn't all of it. God is the one who's going to tell us what all of it is. See? You remember blind Bartimaeus, thou son of David? See? And Jesus knowing what the plan was, yet they didn't know it. They tried to force him to make him take the throne. And even Pilate asked him. And he said, if my kingdom was this world, then my subjects would fight. My kingdom is above. But he said, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come. Huh? It's coming. See, it wasn't then. It wasn't time for that then. That's why when he read in Isaiah 61, he read the first part and left the second part. Amen. It wasn't time yet. It had to come when the scripture said that it was going to be. And when you pray, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. How glorious this great thing. Praise God. So, he's not done yet. Left the Father's throne to take his own throne. And now he has come forth from his intercessory work to claim his own throne, his redeemed subjects. Did he just declare it? Did he just declare where his throne was? That he's come to claim them? He's come to possess them? He's come to incarnate himself in there? He's come there to sit on the throne of their hearts, that he might rule and reign from there and manifest himself and fulfill the scripture from there. And they would act out everything that he once done with the word in this day and in this hour. That's what he came forth from the throne to do. It is then that the lion-like creature said to John, come and see. See, watch now. You're reading it. So he's come to claim his throne. His redeemed subjects. Oh, praise be to God. All right, now, this is in the third seal, and I'm going to have to skip something here. So I really want to get over here to the sixth seal. So, And this is the third seal, paragraph 271. Now, that's what it is. There's no such thing as the Christian Church of Methodists. There's not a church that's a lodge, Baptist. That's not a church, it's a lodge. There's only one church. And that's the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And you're born into that. See, that's right. By predestination, that's right. All the Father has given me will come. No man can come lest the Father calls him. And all he give me will come to me. See, that's right. The Lamb sits there making intercessions till the last one comes in. The little bell rings and he walks out and takes his possession then, you see. So brings his church home. Now, I just love that little, the bell rings. The bell rings. What? Time is fulfilled. Time is no more. It comes time when, just like Brother Branham said, that when Jesus declared on the cross that time is no more, he said the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And he said it brought the mercy seat into plain view. And he said now, no longer could you take those animal sacrifices, no longer could you bring those things anymore and come and be accepted by God, because the veil had been rung. Now the veil had been rent. Now it had all been declared. It had all been finished. Now he was bringing forth the word for that day. And that is exactly what's happening in every age, in every time, that God brings it right up to that time, and then it's done. It's finished. And then it goes over. And you say, oh, but there's a lap over. Yeah, there is a lap over. There is a lap over. And there always is a lap over. But yet, for all of those there that had heard it, that was it. That was it. Now, there might be somebody that was in another country somewhere who had never heard it. But you can be sure that God's going to get every one of his, and he'll get them in the right time. Yep. And it's interesting to me that on the day of Pentecost, there were people gathered from every nation on the earth. Yep. Every nation. So either all that were supposed to hear it were there, or all who were going to take it back to their nation were there.
That's right.
They were there to hear it, and now they were going to take it back home, and they were going to testify of what had just taken place,
Amen.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
yes.
upon the people of the earth.
Amen.
See, his subjects, and cast his enemy into the lake of fire, and all his subjects go in there with him. That's it, and then we walk out in the millennium. Praise God. All right, so this is in the fourth seal now. And okay. Let's get to souls in prison now, paragraph 126. And I'll still even have to probably skip some of this, but I'm gonna do my best here. There's a part of this I want to get. And he was the God prophet, because the word of the Lord only comes to the prophet, showing that the words came in minor form. The prophets wrote what the Lord told them, and then he wrote nothing. See, but I'm sorry. The prophets wrote what the Lord told them, but he wrote nothing, because he was the Word. See, he was the Word. He wasn't in minor form. He wasn't part of it. He was the fullness of it. That's right. See, and now the same Holy Spirit that lived in him, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. Yet ye shall see me. Because I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. I'll come to you, he said. I was the Father that was in him, that will come to you. And he said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he will reveal these things that I've taught you and will show you things to come. There, see, there you are. That's right. And that's what he's been doing continually. He's been doing that. Now notice now that as the Holy Spirit worked in the church, so has the Holy Spirit done exactly the same things today, announcing by the pillar of fire, just exactly was at the beginning, the same thing, see? seeing this come upon Jesus, John announced it at the River of Jordan, has proved everything, even scientific pictures of it. It can't be disputed. It was scientifically. It was material. It wasn't a mythical thought. It wasn't psychology. As George J. Lacey said, the mechanical eye of the camera won't take psychology. The light struck the lens. That's right. So, Brother Branham is constantly talking about the word has to be vindicated. When God has promised something, you can't just say this happened. It has to be vindicated. God has got to prove it. And then when he proves it, it's there for everybody to see and know this is the proof.
Amen.
See? Now, what about you, church, that about 6 or 8 months ago, it was 8 months ago, or more, because 8 months before this was the revealing of the seals. So it goes back. So saying, it's thus saith the Lord that I'm going to Tucson, Arizona. There'll be a blast. 7 angels will appear. Now you remember now, God making it so real until Life magazine took the pictures of it. Spiritual. Foresaw. Materialized. Just exactly the same. 7 angels, which brought forth the winding up of all of the scripture. Huh? That appearing of the 7 angels, the opening of the seals, was a complete winding up of all of the scriptures. You know, in the message, hadn't read it in a long time, but he that is in you now, Brother Branham said, the opening of the 7 seals closes the New Testament, closes it and finishes it. The revelation's finished. The scripture's finished. It's all fulfilled. It's all done right there. Then the only thing left to come is those 7 thunder mysteries. That's all that's left. See, it's the mystery of the entire book laid in those 7 seals that the Lord let us bring. And there's men sitting here today was right there present with me when it happened. Look magazine proved the same thing. It actually happened because it was God that told it. It was God that stands behind his word to perform it when he says he'll do it. Therefore, it's not some man, carnal person like myself. That's among you people. It's the eternal God. Huh? It's the eternal God. See, he said it was the Lamb came every night and revealed the seal, revealed the seal, revealed the seal. Every night the Lamb came and revealed it. He uses men. That's true. He does nothing outside of what he does by men. We realize that. See, that's his agent. That's what he chose. Why? I don't know. He could have made the sun to preach the gospel. He could have made the wind to preach the gospel. He could have made the wind to do things, but he chose man. See, that was his idea, that humans would speak back to humans, not himself. The word of God came to the prophets, the prophesiers, the preachers. And a prophesier that denies the original word, how can he be a true prophet? See? He can't be, because he's denying the truth of the word. And then if it doesn't, then this word itself, as it's preached by the trueness of the word, and then the trueness of the Holy Spirit, it'll manifest every promise that it promised.
Yes.
That's how we know whether it's right or not. That's what Jesus said. If I do not that which is written of me to do, then don't believe me, see? Now we see these things. Though they seen it, they were there. He pointed out there was many men that was right there on the mountain with him. They were all hunting together.
Amen.
There were witnesses. Yep. They heard the blast. They seen the cloud. They seen these things take place.
Right.
Remember, the seals, the 7 seals was finished. When those 7 revealed truths, one of them he wouldn't permit us to know. Huh? That's 7th. How many was here at the 7 seals? Oh, all of you, I guess. See, the 7th seal, he wouldn't permit it. He stood right there in the room and revealed every one of them. And if I ever preached anything in my life was inspired, it was that. Now, that's the same thing he said when he was preaching it. That he had never had anything like this in his whole life. Of all of the revelations, of all of the things that God had revealed, those seals, that nothing had ever compared to that. If I ever preached anything in my life was inspired, it was that. It ought to be true to you. Stand here and tell you that it's going to happen. Go right there, and even science and everything else, the scientific research and everything, mystery to the people, prove that it happened right there. And come right back and hear it unfold and make every word exactly right. What day are we living? Where are we at? Praise God. And remember, in that sixth seal, where all seven trumpets sound, under that sixth seal, when we get to that, you'll see that every seven trumpets took place under that sixth seal. Now, he's telling now, in 1963, that when he gets over to the preach on those trumpets, we're going to see that all of the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. He's testifying. Remember, this took a year or two for him to realize that he preached it supernaturally and he didn't even know it. And he's saying it right here. They all happened under the sixth seal. All seven trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. See? The seven is always the mystery. Watch that seven. That's the finish. That was the coming of the Lord. Heaven was quiet, silent. Nobody moved. Because Jesus said himself, not even an angel of heaven knows when I will return. I don't even know it myself. What time? The Father has put that in his mind. God alone knows it. The Spirit. See? I didn't know it. Then it wasn't revealed. And when that seventh trumpet sounded, or the seventh angel, seal was opened, there was silence in heaven. Now, which, just to clarify, when that seal opened, when was there silence in heaven? Which seal? The seventh seal. There was silence in heaven. See? There was silence in heaven. See, it wasn't give away what would take place. But under the sixth seal, where these trumpets opened, remember, under there, we find out that the Lamb came forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. Now, he is reflecting back on those seals. In souls in prison now, and he's taken us right to it, from being on the mountain, from the prophecy to the mountain, to the blast, to the cloud, to God proving all of these things, coming back and revealing every one of those seals. And the seventh seal, there was silence. And because God didn't let everyone know what that was, there was silence on this seventh seal. And he said, now during that time, we find out that the Lamb came forth. He came forth and appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. Now he's testifying the same thing that he did all the way. He's testifying the same thing. His work of redemption was finished. He came forth and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and time was no more. And immediately an angel appeared in the seventh chapter, or the 10th chapter and the 7th verse. This angel came down and swore that time was no longer. You see, now this book was what was redeemed. It was a book of redemption. See? And everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All that he died for was written in the book. He could not leave his mediatorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed. He couldn't redeem it at the cross because they were predestinated in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he had to stay on there to make intercessions until the last person was finished. Glory. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to point out again, but we're going to read some of those quotes later where he says he's there tonight. He's there tonight. He's interceding. He's making intercessions. He's there tonight. Here, he is confirming what those seals was all about. And that those seals could not be revealed. They could not be opened until he left his mediatorial work and the redemption was done. Redemption was finished. The Gentile days were over. It was done. It was finished. It was just over. The 141. The mysteries was in the seven seals. When these seven seals was opened, that opened the entire Bible. The seven seals, it was sealed with seven mysteries, and in these seven seals held the entire mystery of it. It was the book of redemption. New Testament, not the old. It only proclaimed for the New Testament. They have been made, they cannot be made perfect without us. See? Hebrews 11. So they couldn't be made perfect without this. Amen. This was the tie that binds. This was the thing that was going to bring it all together. This was that he was going to call and they would all awaken. They were going to all come to this. Now redemption only come when the Redeemer died. And they were potentially under the blood of lambs, not the Redeemer. Hadn't been redeemed yet until the Redeemer came. And then he had to finish the work. He had to finish the work, and then it all comes under it. Notice now, when this Redeemer, John looked around, and here sat God on the throne with the book in his hand that had been sealed with seven seals, and the whole plan of redemption was in it, see? And it had been lost by the human race, Adam, and it went back where? Satan couldn't take it. He just caused him to lose it. But where did the book go to? It didn't belong to the human race. The blessings didn't belong here. Here, the human race had lost it. So it went right on back to its original owner, and that was God. And here he sat with it, and he called for some man, somebody, to come and claim it. That's right. And John looked around. There was no man in heaven, no man on the earth, nobody, no angel, nothing could take it, take the book and or loose the seals. Or even to look on it. No man was worthy. John said he wept bitterly. And when an angel came to him and said, "Weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed, and he is worthy." Now, you say, "Brother, you've read the same thing over and over and over for three services." Yes, I have. I have. And he's saying the same thing every time. He's not deviating. He's not adjusting it. He's not trying to make it fit somewhere. He's saying exactly the same thing. He places it perfectly every time in the same place at the same time when it's supposed to happen. See, the Lamb that had been saying since the foundation of the world, the Lamb came forth. He walked up to him that had the book in his right hand and received the book. Climbed up on the throne and sat down and said, "That's it." When Jesus hung on Calvary, he said, "It's finished." See, he climbed up on the throne and sat down. That's it. It was over. When? He asked the question, when was it over? When the seals was revealed. He's nailing it down. He's nailing it down so there won't be any doubt. He's going back 8 months now. He's saying exactly word for word what he said through the seals, through the breach, through the seals, through all of that. Then after the seals, he says things. And so he's nailing it down. The mediatorial and intercessory work ended at the opening of the seals. I want to read it again. The Lamb came forth, walked up to him that had the book in his right hand. He received the book. He climbed up on the throne and sat down. Which throne did he climb upon? Huh? He came to take his throne, his redeemed subjects. He took the book and he climbed up on the throne of the believer and he began to be the king. He began to be the ruler. He began to be the husband. See? That's it. See, he climbed up on the throne and sat down. That's it. It was over when the seals was revealed. When the last one, that was everything that he had redeemed. There was nothing. Can I say that again? That was everything that he had redeemed. It was all in the book. It was all there. He come to redeem. Now you say, why didn't he redeem them 40 years ago? 2,000 years ago? Huh? See, their names are on the book of life, in that book. And he had to stand here because it was God's purpose to redeem them. Their names were put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was put there with it to be slain. And here come the Lamb, when he was slain, come back to make the intercessions. Now, there'll be a lot of impersonations, a lot of everything else. There was really somebody was going to be saved. The church was predestinated to be without spot or wrinkle. See? She's going to be there. The Lamb died for that purpose. And then when the last name on that book was redeemed, the Lamb came forth and took the book. I'm the one that did it. That finished it right there. The angels, the cherubims, the 24 elders, the beast, everything uncrowned themselves and fell down before the throne and said, "Worthy art thou." See? John said, everything in heaven and everything on earth heard me hollering, amen, screaming, hallelujah, praises and glory. The scream went up. Their names was in the book to be revealed. And the Lamb had revealed it. Praise be to God. Amen. This is the greatest hour. This is the greatest day. This is the greatest message. And it breaks my heart to know that people have walked away from this revelation after being in the message for years and years, some of them for their whole life, 20 years or 30 years, and then to walk away when this is it. This is it. This is what God had in his mind. And this is what God manifested. This is what God proved. This is what God vindicated. This was the plan of redemption being revealed. And it goes over people's heads. But it's just the simplicity of it is, he's just revealing who you are. He's revealing that you were in him before the foundation of the world. That's the reason you couldn't have any sin. That's the reason you can't be lost. That's the reason nobody can preach you in or out or anywhere else. He is the one. And you're in him. The Lamb had redeemed it, but he could not come forth until every name was revealed. And that was taking place on the sixth seal before the seventh broke. Then the Lamb came for what he had redeemed. He come to claim what he had redeemed. He's already got it. It's right here in the book. Taking it from his hand, the Father's hand. Now he's coming to receive what he has redeemed. That's his work. He's done. He come to receive it. Whoa, what a time has proven it. The seventh seal proved it. He come back and he took the book of redemption. Praise be to God. He did it. The seventh seal proved it. How did it prove it? He come. He come. He came back. And he revealed the seven thunder mysteries. Amen. He came back and he broke the seven seals. He came back and he claimed his bride. He called her by name. Every name was in the book. He called her to himself and he filled her. He became one with her. Praise be to God. Amen. It's just so great. It's so wonderful. Amen. And I'm going to just stop right there. somewhere here. Let me just read paragraph 158 and 159, and we're going to close there. Now, at the message of the seventh earthly angel, the messenger on earth, the seventh and last church age, at the beginning of his ministry, when he starts off on into the earth, at that time, the mystery of God of these seven seals should be made known at that time. Now, we see where we're at. Could it be, friends? Could it be? Notice, all possible. All that had been redeemed in the book, he came forth for redemption. All that was to be redeemed was in the book. Predestinated before the foundation of the world, he came to redeem it. All that he had redeemed was written therein. Praise be to God. Amen. It was a finished work. It was a finished work. He as the, you know, those little quotes that Brother Branham drops in there now and then, he didn't just, wasn't just going along and deciding as he goes along, I'm going to take this one, I'll take this one, you know, I like this one. This is a pretty good person over here. They've tried really hard. No. They were already in the book. He's not deciding as he goes along. He already had it all planned out. He already chose them. He already predestinated them. He already put their name in the book. He knew every one of them that ever would want anything to do with him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Satan is always right there to deceive. And we've been reading through Genesis. And I've been thinking, I was telling him yesterday that it hit me how that Satan always gets in there, not always first, but you look at when Cain and Abel came. Cain was first. He was first. And then the true seed came, where God was placing his seed. And then you come along and there was Ishmael and Isaac. And Ishmael was born first. And then comes Isaac, is the one that God promised his seed was going to be in. And so all of that doubt had to be there. And it just got more and more that they just didn't believe God could do it. It just got that human nature, that thing we were talking about a while ago, that thing just got on them until there was this absolutely no way. Now, every time God come and talked to them, they got excited. But they just... it got harder and harder because they got completely past any ability to have children. Not just that she had problems having them, but now they were so old now, it wasn't even feasible or that you could even imagine it being happening. And God had never changed his mind.
That's right.
And he brought forth Isaac. And then he come right along and there's Esau and Jacob. And there, once again, Esau was first. But Jacob was the chosen.
Amen.
And Jacob, I just always thought that was the most beautiful thing, that here was the birthright by the flesh. But here was the birthright in the heart.
Yes.
And that which was in the heart received it over that flesh.
Amen.
And so every time God's seed goes. So it don't matter what Satan puts out there, God's seed is the one that he is promoting. And that seed is always, God lets Satan think that he's got it, that he's won, that his man is it. Mm-mm. No. He told Hagar, when she ran away, he said, you go back and you submit yourself to your mistress. You submit yourself. You be in subjection to her. And she said, I've heard your cry. And this is going to be a great man. But he's going to be a wild man. And he's going to be against all nations. And all nations will be against him. And he will dwell among all of his brethren. And that's exactly that race. They're all over the world. They're taking over.
Amen.
When God came back to tell Abraham that he was going to give him a son, Abraham said, Oh that Ishmael, I don't remember the words, paraphrasing though, that, oh, that Ishmael will please you, that this will be good enough. And he said, no. He said, he will bring forth 12 princes. He said, but ye shall bear a son of Sarah, and you will bring forth a son, and in him shall thy seed be called.
Amen.
He is the one. It's never too hard for God. God likes making it look like it's past possible.
Amen.
And then he does it. He does it. Oh my. Praise be to his name. Let us stand together as we dismiss in prayer this morning. So let's just bow our hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you and praise you. And Lord, we know that you came in this day to claim, Lord, to become one with your bride. And Lord, it stirs our hearts when we think on it. Lord, it stirs our hearts when we know the reality of what you've done for the bride. And Lord, how you called her, and how that prophet said, I'm going to call you bride so you'll understand. Lord, he made it personal. He made it, Lord, to know that this is a personal relationship, a personal revelation from you to your wife. And Father, we thank you and praise you. Help us and guide us. Lord, we claim your mercy and grace. We claim your healing for Sister Pauletta, for Sister Betty, for each one that's in need, Lord. We claim your word. We claim nothing's too big, nothing's too small. No matter what Satan puts out there, Lord. Lord, we know all things are in your hands. And we claim it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.